Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Jim Camp is with us. He's our good friend. He's one of the world's top negotiating coaches, ladies and gentlemen. He's helps companies all over the world and individuals learn how to be better negotiator. He is the author of a book I'm holding in my hand called Starting With No. He's our friend, Jim Camp. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's great to be back, Jim.
It's good to have you back. And, Jim, one of the things that I've found in my life is that the average person out there in the marketplace doesn't really focus on the fundamentals of negotiating. They negotiate, and sometimes they're even aware that they're negotiating. Sometimes they even think that they're doing a good job. But they don't realize that, just like selling, it's not – negotiating is more science than art. At least that's what I think. And I'd like to get people to be a little more technical in their negotiating. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right. I think that, Jim, I've found that people are surprised. They're suddenly surprised when they really start to think about negotiation, when they really think about it, rather than just react. When they start to sit down and really think through what they're trying to do, they become surprised. And they're kind of startled in a way. Just last week, example, one of my clients said to me, he said, you know, I had never thought about this whole win-win approach that you know, Jim, I desperately dislike that.
Yeah, you don't like the win-win thing. That really startles people, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It just really, really startles them. But then when we talk about it and we start thinking about it, and people start to realize, and last week he said, my golly, I have to compromise everything. My whole thought process is compromised when I think about win-win. My whole thought process is an assumption. I have to assume something. I have to guess, and I'm racked, literally racked, and driven by fear of losing.
Mm-hmm.
And win-win.
If I don't give up enough.
That's right. If I don't give up enough, I'm driven by fear.
You're concerned that people go into a negotiation thinking about what they're going to give away.
Exactly. It's a compromise. What do I have to give away? They've got to guess at what they give away, and they're fearful that if they don't give enough away, that they're going to lose. And the whole premise is a terribly weak mindset. The whole thing is weak, Jim.
But when people hear you saying these things, it makes them think that you're going to go in and just basically demand everything, and, you know, my way or the highway. And a lot of people are uncomfortable with that, I think.
That's exactly right. It they think it's all brinkmanship, don't they? They think it's on the edge of the it's literally on the edge of the cliff. It's all or nothing, and that's not true. What's interesting to me is that, rather than sit around preparing how much we're going to give away, why don't we prepare on what we're delivering? Why don't we have such a clear image of what our offer brings to that organization, that group, that person, that we're able to create such a clear vision, such a clear picture of it, and the value is there, instead of worrying about our BATNA, our best alternative, meaning how low we can go, Why aren't we working on creating the image of the value of what we're offering at the negotiating table?
But Jim, how do we do that without coming across as being abrupt and being intransigent?
Well, you know, it's kind of like, you know, if we just ask the question, what are we trying to accomplish today? Why are we meeting like this? What are we trying to do? If we ask those three questions and just got an, and if we just are patient enough for an answer, we start to create a vision. There's listeners today, Jim, that aren't wearing seatbelts in a car.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I wanted to negotiate with the person today listening to you and I have this discussion who's not wearing a seatbelt, what would I say?
I don't know.
You know the value of a seatbelt, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I could ask the question, what happens in an accident or a crash if you're not wearing a seatbelt? What happens?
Obviously, you're going to be thrown clear. I believe it or not, I've actually heard people say they didn't want to be, you know, they wanted to be thrown clear.
yeah, through the windshield, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or through the steel door.
Right.
They want to be thrown through something. Because if there's a roof on the car, they're not going to be thrown clear, right?
Right. But how would you negotiate? How would you negotiate with them about that?
And that's, you know, I would just ask the question, what happens in the crash? What happens? So what I'm getting to, Jim, is that what's the vision? What's the image? What do they see based on our input? Do we ask an interrogative question or do we make a statement? Now, if I make the statement, you're stupid for not wearing a seatbelt, that's negative and it kind of destroys vision.
Mm-hmm.
But if I ask the question, what happens in a crash? What happens?
I'm not sure that everybody gets the connection, though, Jim, between that, you know, asking an interrogative question and getting people apart with their money.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the concept, see...
Hold on to that thought, Jim. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're going to come back. I'm going to get Jim to work his way out of this one right after these messages. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Jim Kemp is our guest. The book is called Starting With No. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Jim Kemp is our guest. He's the author of Start With No. Start With No is a book that you think you'll find very interesting. It's a different way of looking at negotiating. Jim, why don't you give us your website and tell us how we can find your book?
Well, www.jimstartwithno.com. And if,
all right.
If the listening audience will come over to that website and register, my staff will introduce them to all of our different training programs and the things we're doing.
All right. Check that out, folks, when you get a chance. Startwithno.com. Okay, Jim, I'm in my car. I'm not buckled up. How does me not being buckled up have to do with negotiating? What's that got to do with negotiating?
What we're doing is we're negotiating for an idea, right? We're negotiating for a mindset in the automobile, and I asked the question, what happens in a crash?
Mm-hmm.
And people would say, well, Jim, what does that have to do with negotiating? Well, you know, I haven't offered a compromise. I haven't prepared for the negotiating by the negotiation with you on your mindset of not wearing a seatbelt by offering some compromise. I haven't said wear half a seatbelt or drive slower. I haven't even thought about that. All I've thought about is the image of you going through the windshield without a seatbelt.
Right. So how? But how? Help me out with this in a real business negotiating environment. What would that sound like in a real negotiation?
Sure. Let's take for example. I've got a client that's going to Hong Kong in January to talk with a very powerful retailer about buying 100,000 units of whatever it is he's offering.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about this on Wednesday in Dallas, and the first thought is, okay, the typical approach is to think about, okay, last time they bought 100,000 units, they paid this price, and so if I really want them to buy 125,000 units, so let's give them a 2% discount this time over last time. Our opening offer is going to be 2%. Less than we did last time, they'll like us, they'll like the offer, and they'll take it. So we're prepared with compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this case, I've asked the question of my client, why would they buy any units this time? How well did they sell last time? And how are we going to deal with the increased cost of plastic? What are we going to do to cover the price increase that we're going to have to demand for the price of plastic? And my client looked at me and said, "Well, you mean we're not going to offer a compromise immediately? We're not going to cut the price for them so they like us and feel good about us?" I said, "Well, why don't we find out why they would buy our product to begin with? What's driving them to put our product on the shelf?"
Are you saying part of what you're saying is you know, whether you I take your point about why would they buy anything? You're saying let's find out how compelling our deal is if they just buy one.
That's right.
Let alone 100,000, and then build our negotiating position off of that knowledge.
Well, exactly. And Jim, what happens if our product is such a great seller, they have to have it on the shelf, that they're counting on having it on the shelf?
Yeah, that they can't do without you right now.
What happens if they can't do without that shelf space?
Don't you think that negotiating positions have eroded over the last, let's say, 10 years because there is so much increased competitive channels? That, you know yourself, you've been around a while like me, you know that we've all got 10 times more competitive pressures than we had 10 years ago.
There's no question it's more competitive, but what's interesting to me is, what really interests me when you think about it, if you just think about before you put out a price, before you sit and worry about how you're going to reduce your price to be more competitive, why don't we find out why we're having the discussion about what we offer? What happens if we find out that we are most important to them as a drawing card?
Well, and I agree with you. On a smaller scale, recently my wife and I went to an open house where they were selling a house. And we walked in, and the first thing the realtor said, I mean, we had hardly cleared the threshold, and the realtor said, "Hello, they're asking XXX for this house." I mean, after hello, she gave us the price of the house.
Yeah.
Now, it's not like we couldn't have gotten it anyway, but my point is, she didn't, you know, why didn't she find out if this is where we wanted to be?
Exactly.
Before she gave us the price.
Exactly.
And again, it wasn't like we didn't already know what they were asking for, because it was probably in the listing. But the point is that was her lead. That was her lead.
Sure. So why are you even there, Jim?
Yeah.
What are you and the missus doing there?
Yeah.
Are you having a nice stroll in the neighborhood?
We don't have a life, so we just go to open houses. That's right. Jim, this is very interesting. Folks, I encourage you to check out his book. This is revolutionary stuff. We've talked about negotiating a lot on this show in the past 7 years, but Jim's stuff is different, and I encourage you to incorporate it into your strategy as you negotiate for whatever you're negotiating for. Jim Camp, thank you for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jim.
Jim Camp, ladies and gentlemen, Start With No is the name of the book. StartWithNo.com is his website. Quick break. I'll be right back with Leslie Mills. The show is brought to you by IBM, and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.